We want to welcome His Glory Nation to this Brighteon edition of Take 5. We are spreading the good news from east to west, north to south, and I'm Janice White. We have two very informative interviews for you today. The first is with Dr. Elizabeth Vliet and attorney Todd Callender, and they go deep into some information that you need to know regarding the next pandemic and the Marburg virus, as well as information on how the recent WHO treaty will completely trample our constitutional rights. Our second interview is with Dr. Andrew Huff, a scientist and former executive at EcoHealth Alliance, who goes into detail about the truth behind the Wuhan lab leak and COVID-19. Dr. Huff is a biosurveillance system expert who began investigating the origins of the COVID leak in 2019. We hope that these interviews bless you with knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. We'll be back right after this.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
It's with my privilege to bring Todd Callender back on and Dr. Vliet. Welcome back. It's good to see you both.
Really nice to be here.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
Before we get started, you know, obviously we are not to where we need to be as a nation. There's a lot of challenges still ahead of us. But I do want to thank you both because we've come a long way in the last couple of years since the first time you guys have been on and all the people that we know. And if it wasn't for your hard work and, you know, keeping the plow down and fighting for this country, we wouldn't be where we're at today. So thank you.
Really, the pleasure is ours. I think, Pastor, we wouldn't be here at all if it weren't all of us working together. So the thanks is to you as well.
Yep. It's I'll let you guys talk about where we're at, but we are starting to see some cracks. We're starting to see some breakthroughs. We know this is the time that we don't pause. We don't take a retreat. As a former Marine, we go full in right now.
Absolutely. And you know, Pastor Dave, I think we really are seeing more people realizing that something is seriously wrong. I just last week, I had patients every day who were commenting that they knew more people who had died or been injured after getting the COVID shot. And they are asking the questions, even patients who've gotten the shot, who went ahead under pressure from other doctors and their employers to get it, have stopped getting the boosters because they see changes in their health. So I think the assault on the human body and the importance of people who had worked to stay healthy and then see their health declining after the COVID shots, I think that is one of the biggest things that's helping to wake people up.
Yeah, yeah. They're coming alive more. We, as the generals say, we need to get them quicker, faster, more people awake. But we've seen rapid fire just this last, you know, 3 or 4 days of new information exposing all of this, whether it be the what Dr. Fauci did with the cover-up of the Wuhan lab, all the way to what they've covered up at January 6th to try to spin a different narrative to us. We the people are saying no more.
You know, Pastor, I appreciate you saying that. I would also mention the other thing we're seeing out of the talking heads is the prediction that we're going to suffer another COVID-like circumstance, that, you know, the Bill Gates next time, you know, they'll pay attention next time. That's coming.
Yeah.
You know, we have this Marburg outbreak in Africa. It's only a function of when the WHO makes their public health emergency announcement. We know that the international health regulations have been amended. We know that as a function of that, they will be able to call on the U.S. military and law enforcement to enforce their quarantining and experiments on the population. So what I would love for people to do is, as they become aware, as that door is cracked open, as you put it, to open themselves to some preparation to understand they're going to do it again. And we don't have to go along with the program. So anything and everything we can do to prepare, to get them to understand this is just another attack. It's from our government. They're not here to help you. They're here to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, 2 years ago, I remember when you said that, and other doctors that we've had on, the Dr. McCulloughs, the Dr. Malones, all these, they said the same thing. And people looked at us like we were the most crazy people on the face of the earth. And all of that has been proven true and more.
And more. Exactly. And I think with your January 6th reference now, we've come to find this, you know, this police officer who's supposed to have been dead was walking around just fine. So at what lengths will they lie to get their way, to get their destruction, which is, I think, part of this conversation? You know, they are in the business now of making humanity extinct. That's what their mission is. In fact, they want to genetically modify every plant and animal species on the planet for the purpose of spiting God. And our Health and Human Services Department has a SynBio division to assist in that. They're actively doing this.
Yeah. And they're further along than we think. I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but Dr. McCullough brought this up. And I was actually down at the southern border. I rode with Sheriff Lamb to see what was going on in the southern border for a documentary we were doing. And they're starting the process here in the United States to our ranchers of putting the mRNA into our cattle. And
right.
Everybody thought that was crazy. Well, Dr. Artis, I believe, came out with that they're doing it in another country right now. And the rancher told me that the first time ever, he's one of the largest ranchers in the United States. He said the first time ever a government vet is now showing up to his location and telling him what he has to do. And he says, well, what happens if I don't do it? He says, we'll take your property away.
Shocking and not surprising. I think you see the same thing is actually now happening in Ohio.
Yep.
They intentionally created the circumstance where dioxins are floating around, and that works as a fine pretext for them to go and steal people's property. So the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? And I have some solutions, but I'd also like to hear what Dr. Vliet has to say about the mRNA in cattle, because that sounds like a really bad idea.
Well, it's a horrific idea. Because what they're doing is not only altering humans, but altering animals. And that changes the genome of the animals. It also, we don't know what else is in the mRNA shots. One of the biggest issues that Hedley Reese and Dr. Mike Yeadon and Sasha Latapova have been bringing up for months, and we've done many programs on our whistleblower reports, is the fact that the FDA has totally abdicated all of its regulatory oversight for good and not holding the pharmaceutical companies to good manufacturing practices. We have no idea what's in the shots. There's no quality control. There's no manufacturing oversight. And they are moving in ways to damage the food supply And I think the ranchers really better start banding together and standing against this government tyranny, or they're going to find that the cattle are sterile. I mean, it affects reproduction in the animals that have gotten these shots, and it affects the animals in the earlier trials with the mRNA vaccines, in the clinical trials with animals, the animals died. So they're actually damaging the health of the herds of animals, just as they're damaging the health of human beings. Look at the death rate. We had more people in the working age population, 18 to 44, die in the first 9 months after the rollout of the COVID shots than we had die in that age group in 10 years of the Vietnam War.
Yeah. And I actually have a question for you.
This is very real.
You mentioned something a minute ago, and it stuck with me, because if you recall, in earlier times, we talked about how the mRNA was used to program a body into producing spike proteins. And yet those synthetic proteins being produced by the quote-unquote vaccinated were improperly folded proteins called prions. Is it not true that prions are what caused mad cow disease? Is it, you know,
logical? Absolutely, it's true.
Is it logical to assume that these mRNA shots are going to cause the cows to develop mad cow disease?
Well, it's certainly a risk. Now, not all of the spike proteins that the mRNA shots trigger the body to make are the misfolded proteins, but there's a very high incidence of them. And what we're seeing in France, for example, there were 26 cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob rapidly progressing dementia, which is the human form of mad cow disease. And that is a disease that's extraordinarily rare. And to have 26 cases in a few months after the rollout of the COVID shots is a staggering adverse impact. And Creutzfeldt-Jakob dementia is a very rapid dementia that takes life very quickly and damages the brain. This is one of the reasons that they stopped feeding ground up animal parts to cattle as part of the feed, because it was leading to mad cow disease, spongiform encephalopathy, and that is the prion disease. It's one of the reasons I tell my patients, don't take products that are called glandulars in the health food stores, because that's ground up animal parts that they forgot that they have banned feeding to animals. So why would humans take that?
Wow.
The prion contamination has been an issue for a long time. That's why the regulations about what you can feed animals have been so strict. So to turn around and then now require mRNA shots that can lead to the same kind of damage, causing brain damage to the cows and death, and make them very sickly. I mean, this is just, it is an assault on God's creation at all levels, human and animal and plants. So I see this as very biblical, Pastor Dave, that we are in the times that were prophesied in the Old Testament, and Jesus talked about in Matthew as well. These are the times that are very analogous to what was happening in the biblical times around the time of Noah, when God's judgment on the earth was to cleanse the earth of the evil and the assault on his gift of life.
Yep.
And the wanton, the practices, the debauchery, all of it that was going on at that time. And I think we're in the same times now, and just as the Bible has foretold.
Yeah, if you go to a church that teaches that portion of the Bible, that's the Nephilim in the manipulating of the DNA molecule, unfortunately, 9 out of 10 churches teach something called a Seth theory. And not the Nephilim. The Nephilim were fallen angels that mated with the fair women and created a different race of where we get gigantes in the Bible and the fallen ones, Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A different That's race. Right. Isn't that precisely what we're talking about, Pastor? You might recall that in our case, we raised the issue. It's a lawsuit, Robert v. Austin. It still exists. We sought to stop the DOD, FDA, and HHS from mandating the shots. And while the National Defense Authorization Act caused the military to rescind that, our case persists. And the reason for that is one of our points is that according to existing U.S. law, it's a case called Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics. The use of mRNA to effectuate gene modification, which is what these shots do, results in the product, the synthetic product of that gene modification belonging to the patent holders. And our point is that this violates our 13th Amendment. We outlawed owning other people in 1865. What's interesting about this is that nowhere from when we filed the suit on the 23rd of August 2021 to this very day, at no time in between has the government denied our allegations. And while all of our friends that filed similar suits about the shots, they've been dismissed as being moot, ours persists. It is still alive in the 10th Circuit. And I think they're stuck because they don't know how to fight the fact that, you know, half the world's population ostensibly has been genetically modified into a new species. And I think I sent you the Army's own study.
Yep.
It's not like they're denying what they call synbio or Borg, you know, human machines, as they call it. So the assault on God's creations is especially so with our military. I think that's where they started.
Yeah, I remember first seeing a report about that through DARPA back in the early 2000s. My mentor was Chuck Missler in the Bible, and he showed me that the United States, Russia, China were working on these cyber super soldiers by manipulating the DNA molecule.
I think we've seen it, too. You might remember August of last year, Kim Jong-un had this big demonstration. He brought out all of his soldiers, and they were getting hit in the head with sledgehammers, and it looked like nothing had happened to them. They didn't even bleed. So, I mean, I don't know why people don't believe this. And my concern, frankly, is that they're utilizing this as an opportunity to avoid the application of human rights. When you read through their own materials, including the UK's, it's called human augmentation, they talk about these new people, I can't say new humans because they're probably not, as being property, that they're disposable. Should we turn them off if they go rogue, kind of a thing? So my concern is whether or not human rights even apply any longer. And the sooner people, you know, come to understand this, that they are also the target of this. They're either, you know, dead or going to be transmutated into a new species. That, you know, if we don't stop it, all of God's creations will become extinct.
Yeah. They say that the bioweapon at first was COVID, but we now know the bioweapon is the vaccine.
The shots.
Well, and you're right. We tried to warn about that in 2020 because it was beginning of 2020 that we began to figure out that when they started suppressing early treatment, that the agenda was to prevent a treatable illness from being properly treated, to drive people into fear and then drive them into the box canyon of the experimental COVID shot. And literally, I wrote editorials on this in the spring of 2020, and so did Dr. McCullough. His editorial in The Hill actually came out in May, June, as I recall, 2020, when he warned about exactly that point, that and it defied common sense that when traditional vaccines have taken 2 to 7 years to develop properly, with animal studies, clinical trials, and safety data accumulation and analysis, and gene therapy agents under the FDA regulations were mandated to require 5 to 15 years to properly develop and evaluate for safety and effectiveness. The idea that they could have a warp speed COVID shot experimental shot available by the end of 2020 for something that was just announced in January 2020, that absolutely was not possible. And so a lot of us common sense physicians were saying, wait a minute, we can treat this. You don't need an experimental shot using brand new technology we've never used before. And that's before a lot of us knew the details of what they had planned. But it defied common sense, and it defied all medical practice to that point.
You know, doctor, it reminds me actually what it is you're talking about there in terms of defying, you know, any common sense. I think that's what we actually need, is a great giant dose of common sense. What I was alluding to earlier in relation to the change in the international health regulations is a military medical martial law application. I think we would have seen in the National Defense Authorization Act, they've effectively moved public health responsibility under the Department of Defense. What that in practice means, that if Tedros Adhanom, the director of the WHO, is guided by Anthony Fauci, we've come to find. That's who tells that guy what to do. Yep. If he finds a public health emergency of international concern, he will be able to direct our military, not just our military, our people in uniform, to carry out his edicts. So my mantra of late, going back to the common sense thing, is to all people in uniform. Assuming that this is the case, then who's really in charge? Who's issuing the orders? Is it the WHO? And you might remember that Biden, on January 10 of this year, made the Declaration of North America. He effectively dissolved our country. He said, this is no longer the United States. Its borders are open. We're now working in the North American area with Canada and Mexico. Under international law, he effectively revoked our sovereignty. So to those people in uniform, what I want to ask is, who do you work for? Did you swear an oath to the Constitution, or did you swear an oath to the WHO? Because the time is coming in the very near future where there will be the next pandemic, and it will likely be a hemorrhagic fever, Marburg in particular. And you're going to be asked. You're going to be asked to round up Americans, stick them into camps, and inject them, shoot them, I should say, with lead or liquid. It won't matter because the result is the same. So I find some level of comfort in understanding that some of our uniformed people are starting to understand this. And the sooner the better we can get them to refuse to follow illegal orders, to refuse to recognize the WHO as the sovereign, the better off we are. And that goes towards what you said a minute ago, Pastor Dave, in terms of the rancher. They're going to seize his cattle. Who is going to seize the cattle? Who exactly is going to do that? Because if our people in uniform will refuse to follow an illegal order, such as seizing somebody's cattle, which violates our Fifth and 14th Amendment rights, then who is going to do it? The person from the federal government that works for the USDA? I doubt it. So enforcement becomes the key to this whole thing. We can all opt out.
Well, to your point, Todd, look and go back, Pastor Dave, to the Bundy Ranch standoff when they were trying to confiscate the Bundy cattle that had grazing rights on federal lands. And that later was exposed to have been a land grab related to uranium rights they wanted to illegally sell to Russia. But at the time, how did that standoff get resolved? It was patriotic Americans standing on the rule of law, community coming together, non-compliance. And right. we need peaceful non-compliance, like Dr. Martin Luther King led the nation in doing during the 60s Civil Rights Movement, which a lot of people today have forgotten about. But that was peaceful resistance. And it works if people will stand up against the tyranny. Yep. And that's biblical step. As well.
Yep. Following lawful orders. Todd mentioned it, you know, when we're sworn into the military, we're sworn into the Constitution of the United States, not a WHO, not a commander-in-chief, not a general. It's the Constitution of the United States. And 2 years ago, I was really concerned about our military, whether they would follow that, especially at the general.
Thank you. Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
So we want to introduce you to Dr. Andrew Huff. Welcome, Dr. Huff. Thank you for coming to His Glory.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So let's talk about Wuhan. I saw you on Tucker Carlson not too long ago, and that was a very interesting piece. Well, everything they told us has been a lie.
Yes. So I think it was probably Jesse Waters or Sean Hannity. I haven't been on Tucker yet.
Okay. All right. But might have been Jesse Waters then.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of bleed together, me too. I made it the same mistake with Kyle Serafin, the FBI whistleblower, myself. I just did it last year. Well, I saw you on Tucker Carlson. He's like, oh, that was a couple weeks ago. So it happens. So the COVID conspiracy all turns out to be true. You know, it's another one of the conspiracies over the past two or three years that people have been discussing, which wasn't some theory, but it was really actually a criminal conspiracy. SARS-CoV-2 was engineered by a number of scientists in the United States. Dr. Ian Lipkin did the viral isolation work at Columbia University. Dr. Ralph Barrick from the University of North Carolina did most of the gain of function work. That work was then handed over via my old employer, Equal Health Alliance, where I was the vice president and senior scientist, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where they continued to do this work. And actually, this relationship between these entities existed for probably about 7 or 8 years. Well, up until 2019, I'm doing the math backwards now, probably about 6 years. So six or seven years, these relationships had been in place before the pandemic happened. And the crazy thing here is the timeline and events. So everyone recalls that the U.S. government sort of making announcements about the beginning of the pandemic being in January. And then they said, oh, this emerged from a wet market in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019. But that was a false narrative. And that's a cover up because there is a ton of evidence, hard scientific evidence, and behavioral evidence from the Chinese and the U.S. about what really happened. So it's very clear that a laboratory leak occurred in Wuhan in August 2019, it looks like. And with a laboratory leak, it can go on for a period of time. So it's not just a one-time event. The leak the containment could break in the laboratory, and that period of time could last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And it sometimes it takes some time before the people running the laboratory realize what has happened. And by that time, it's already escaped and it could be out spreading around the world. And that looks like exactly what happened.
Wow.
After the leak happens, the Chinese actually become aware of the leak, and then they go to plug the leak by fixing and repairing some HVAC containment equipment in that laboratory. And, you know, the amazing thing is Dr. Redfield, the former director of the CDC, testified to this last week.
Yes, he did.
So he was the first person to come out on the record and say that, at least in front of Congress. The next thing that happens is it looks like the U.S. government catches wind of this through the Department of Defense, Defense Intelligence Agency, National Center for Medical Intelligence, a little bit of alphabet soup there. But these are the guys that hunt for and look for emerging infectious disease outbreaks, pandemics, bioterrorism events, bioterror attacks, bio-warfare events. And I used to actually build these tools for the U.S. government. This is what I did at EcoHealth Alliance. I also was involved in building these tools at Sandia National Laboratory. So I'm actually a biosurveillance system expert. And I've personally developed some of the best ones on the planet. So I know the limitations. I know how the system works. So, you know, going back in time, when the U.S. government starts talking about this emerging infectious disease outbreak, I was on it right away. I mean, I became aware of this quickly in December. And a number of people in my community sort of caught on to this earlier than what the government led us to believe.
When you say December, are you talking about December of 2019?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so I found out about mid-December 2019 just from always sort of looking for these things. So I used to spend a lot of time looking for chatter related to infectious disease outbreaks. That's one of the methods intelligence analysts find and become aware of disease outbreaks, because people talk about people being sick if there's something weird going on. It's just, it's very natural. And a lot of those tools have been automated with AI, which I used to make, to then read the text input. So, you know, I've always sort of tracked this stuff. Well, after I become aware of it, it's just it's a short period of 2 weeks. And by the end of December 2019, all the other epidemiologists around the planet are talking about it on public, well, I shouldn't say public, but forums where epidemiologists chat with each other. Think about this. Now, the U.S. government hasn't even told everyone that there's a disease spreading around the planet.
Nope.
So we were sounding the alarms, trying to say, hey, government, why are you doing anything? Well, in retrospect, the U.S. government already knew. They already knew what was going on. And going back to the timeline events, so the next strange thing to happen is that the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is a subdivision of the Department of Defense, it's where it makes all the craziest stuff in the world, the craziest technology comes out of DARPA.
Yep.
And I was contacted by a doctor who works with, that I used to work with. Her name's Dr. Amy Jenkins, and she was running or working in the biologics division. And she called me in late September or early October 2019 and offered me a position, essentially. You know, she said, apply, come fly you out and interview. But it's something she was pitching it as if the job was mine, if I wanted to take it. And the funny thing is, she called me on a new phone. Nobody from my old life in national security had this phone number. And I didn't think anything of it until 2020. I go, well, that's really strange that Dr. Amy Jenkins called me on this new cell phone number. How did she get the number? Well, once the pieces of the timeline start to come together for me in 2020, by the time 2021 comes around, I have most of the story of what really happened figured out, because I'd happened to work at all these different places. And, you know, DARPA's involvement in this, in the Department of Defense, is that they've been funding a lot of the mRNA vaccine work.
Yep.
And also a lot of the gain of function work through basically by proxy through the National Institute of Health, National Institute for Allergen and Infectious Diseases. That's what Dr. Anthony Fauci used to run. So all this biodefense and chemical defense research used to be housed within DOD. And after 9/11, Dr. Anthony Fauci assumes control of it, but those projects are always conducted in partnership with the Department of Defense, the intelligence community, and the Department of Homeland Security, because they're the ultimate customer or final customer within the government, because NIH isn't going to use that stuff. Who uses that technology? Who benefits from it? So oftentimes in the government on these research projects, they're matrixed. So you'll have one agency which does the financial management and oversight of the project, the contracting, but then they'll partner with different agencies. And they get more brownie points within the government for working across other agencies. So they're not siloed. They're actually evaluated on it. So this is really the, you know, sort of the framework, a high-level think, high-level how this all played out. I'll stop there because I just hit you with a lot of information.
Yes, yes, you did. And I know my friend Thomas Renz is working on this. And we both know some whistleblowers that have not come forward, and they're going to come forward to confirm everything you said and more. That it did, the genesis of this is behind, is the Department of Defense. Can you confirm or do you know, did it go to Ukraine biolab first, then to China?
No, I don't think so. And I think this is actually a Russian psyop. And so I was actually contacted pretty early on by a Bulgarian journalist who I think has connections to ties to Russia. And she asked me to take a look at all the different documents from the Ukrainian labs that were seized by the Russians. I did that. When I read through all the different documents, the documents looked like traditional biosurveillance. Nothing nefarious, meaning they were going to go collect ticks or blood samples or samples from animals or humans on the environment to monitor for highly pathogenic infectious diseases or infectious disease that can cause chronic conditions. So that's what it all looked like to me, and that's all above board. And I have a lot of insights to these labs in Ukraine for a number of reasons. So one, at Sandia National Laboratories, I worked with the Cooperative Biological Engagement Program. That's the program that funds these laboratories internationally. I also worked with the Defense Threat Reduction Agency at multiple places in my career. So I really understand their mission. Their mission is to protect the warfighter.
Okay.
They're not really necessarily in the gain of function work. Now, where they could be slightly into it is through this gain of function work to make vaccines, but I've never seen that before. So I can't, you know, that could be a thing, but I've never seen it. And this is the strange twist. So when I worked at Eco Alliance, before I left in 2016, I helped write a number of the proposals for these laboratories in Ukraine for the Cooperative Biological Engagement Program. And I knew all the different companies involved because the way that this really works is companies like Eco Alliance, where I work, Metabiota, and that's the company that was invested into by Rosemont Seneca, and that's Hunter Biden's investment firm, okay? UC Davis, and a number of other Beltway bandits that I can't say because I'm under NDA, but they'd be all the usual suspects. We would partner with each other, and we'd actually launch competing proposals against each other. So Eco Health Alliance wouldn't just submit one proposal to get the contract. We might submit 5 to 10. With different partners, all competing against each other. And what happens then is, one, I get to read all the different proposals from the different companies and organizations. Two, it also gave us a higher probability of success of getting the money because we'd get a slice of pie, but the only thing that really changed was how much pie we were getting.
Right.
So it's a smart way as a business or organization to make sure you're going to get at least something. So, you know, what it looks like from the outside, because I left Eco Health Alliance, is that Metabiota got a bigger piece of the pie than Eco Health Alliance, from the looks of it. Okay. Now, these laboratories in Ukraine, I looked at the paperwork, and the Russians have been making all these claims that they were developing, doing gain of function work at these laboratories, making weapons. And also, it could have been where COVID came from. Now, I've also heard a number of people say this. Not one person has been able to produce a document to prove that. And the Russians cleverly seeded some a psyop into the U.S., I guess, social media sphere, which has gotten legs, unfortunately, that they point to this labyrinth company and they say, oh, look, well, this is COVID. And they got this money in November 2019, and that's before the U.S. government told you about it. So this is where COVID came from. Well, that's BS. It's half truth, half lie.
Okay.
The half truth is that they probably received a COVID contract could have been gain of function, but I doubt it, but probably for surveillance and testing, because the U.S. government already knew that it was spreading around the planet in August 2019. And the fact of the matter is the disease was spreading in August 2019. Maybe July, some people say, maybe the leak started back then, but it's, the leak gets plugged in September, okay? So the other thing here is that all the people involved, EcoHealth Alliance, so my former boss, Dr. Peter Daszak, Shizheng Li at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, yep. Dr. Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, and Dr. Ian Lipkin at Columbia University, these people are all the necessary people required to create SARS-CoV-2. Because Dr. Ralph Barrick is the world's expert. And we've already found the genetic signatures and traits from his laboratory's work in the wild strain. There were no relationships between Dr. Ralph Barrick, Shizheng Li, Ian Lipkin, and the Ukrainian labs, as far as I can tell. And there's a whole publication record between all these different places and the source of the leak being Wuhan. So I don't know if you're tracking on this, but I mean, the way I'm trying to explain this is it doesn't seem logically possible, nor is there any evidence. And I'm a scientist, mm-hmm. and I go by, you know, the preponderance of evidence here before I state, you know, what's my hypothesis here? What's the evidence for it? And it looks clear as day to me. I'll gladly change my opinion or my position if there's evidence presented, but I haven't seen any.
Okay, so let's skip to the Wuhan. So we now know that, you know, the conspiracy theory is now true. It did come from the Wuhan lab. Our the U.S. government, Department of Defense, has their fingers on it. China has their fingers on it. Now, did it actually, was it a mistake it released, or was it released intentionally?
Well, I think it was a mistake, and there's a lot of people that say this was intentional. I think the reason why it appears that it was intentional is because a lot of opportunists hop on, and if everyone believes the false narrative, when they're presented that with that first, so everyone believes that this emerged in China in 2019, it makes it all look intentional. So actually, when my own beliefs started hardening by the end of 2020 about what happened, I believed it was an intentional attack. And going through the process of writing my book, I got to the chapter where I decided I was going to analyze this and figure it out. So I collected all the evidence to determine whether or not it was intentional or accidental. Well, let's just talk about a few key things here. So you have to develop motive. So the Chinese intentionally released this. Well, you want to go look at the Chinese Communist Party stated objectives from 2016 to 2018. They want to grow the size of the Communist Party membership by 1 million people. They want China to be the world's leading superpower. Well, here's the problem. Releasing or intentionally releasing an agent in your own country is suicide, especially if you don't have the medical countermeasure. So typically when you use a bioweapon in warfare, you would not use a bioweapon, the United States would not use one, or any other country for that matter, unless you have the countermeasure, because you could kill yourself. So then let's take a look at that logic. Then you look at what happens, the consequence of the pandemic. The Chinese government is credibility is undermined, and the Chinese Communist Party is undermined. It undermines their power. We saw this playing out with the uprisings in Wuhan, yep. I guess it was 2 months ago now. The other thing is the Chinese GDP actually decreases during the pandemic. A lot of people believe that China made all this money. They didn't. They lost money like we did. So all of that strongly suggests it was an accident. The other thing is, too, is that maybe they went through a big, you know, they could say, like, hey, they're really clever, and they made it look like a leak, and then they brought these HVAC people in to buy this equipment. But you think they would have pre-bought the testing kits? They would have pre-bought the personal protective equipment? Because the other thing that happens in that timeline is, well, they repaired the HVAC system and other, or wherever the leak is coming from, in September 2019. Immediately after that, the Chinese start panic buying all the world's PPE up. And this is all shown in the trade data. The other thing is that they start buying testing or ordering testing kits for this. So all of that, those are hard facts. But you think you would do that before you intentionally released it, not after. So I think this strongly points to it being an accident,
so
based on that.
Where does Dr. Fauci sit in all this?
Well, a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. So he's not the one who orchestrated all this, but he was in the position to basically, you know, be a corrupt bureaucrat to, one, conceal where this happened. Because think about this: if you have the intelligence community and the Department of Defense sort of running this operation via Anthony Fauci to Wuhan, you know, it's easy for them to go, it's like, you're going to go do this, okay? You're going to run cover for this. We're going to cover this operation up. This is what you have to say. I sort of think something like that happened, because what everyone has to realize here is you have to think about the structure of the government. So you have Health and Human Services, and then a sub-agency is the National Institute of Health, and then a sub-agency of that is NIAID. That's where Dr. Anthony Fauci is. He doesn't have the power or the reach to go over to the CIA, the ODNI, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, and say, we're going to launch a major cover-up psychological operation, guys. You're going to do this. You know, they tell him to F off, or, you know, they'd laugh at him. That's not the way that happens in the government. And I'm talking from experience here. I mean, usually the public health people are sort of laughed at by the intelligence people. It's just they're not respected, nor do they have the power. So all these people get onto board, and, you know, his inner circle, so Birx and Fauci, you know, they're probably lying to President Trump about many things. That's what it appears. They're giving him bad information. Simultaneously, you know, the mRNA vaccine or gene therapy goes into production in December of 2019. And think about that. So the U.S. government signs off on the paperwork in December 2019. And this Operation Warp Speed went into effect in December 2019. So that shows you that everything's a lie. I mean, that's simply, and that's cited in my book. So Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina signs an intellectual property transfer agreement for SARS-CoV-2, the agent he's got in his possession, in December 2019. So, you know, these are hard facts. He can't lie about it. So the next question, so you look how this plays out. So they're starting to test. That means that they're going to start to make a first phase of the formulation at Moderna. Moderna has, you know, Moderna actually doesn't do the work themselves. They have, like, I think it's like 16 or 17 other companies they contract the work out to. This gets split up among all the companies, and they, you know, they get to work. Then the cash starts flowing to these different companies. It's all, you know, it's all very traditional contracting government business. But if you look back where the emergency use authorization came from to bring this product to the market, it comes from the Department of Defense. It doesn't come from Dr. Anthony Fauci. And it uses the wartime procurement powers to do it. And that's not NIH either. But so Anthony Fauci goes out, and he pumps up, you know, like, you know, we got this product coming. It's great. Remdesivir and all this other poison that they came up with to treat COVID, you know, the three other failed drugs. He pushes that. Then they simultaneously, and they do this in cooperation with the intelligence community and the Department of Defense, discredit all the other existing therapeutics which had been identified. And those therapeutics had been, I should say anti-malarial or anti-parasite drugs, and then also vitamins like zinc and D, for example, right, which had been shown in the laboratory to be highly effective at killing COVID. Right. And one of the people who wrote the zinc paper, for example, was Dr. Ralph Barrick himself. So the guy who created the agent published a paper showing that zinc killed it. So the irony here, right?
And then the doctors that came out in the beginning that said hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, zinc, and D work, they were persecuted.
So the guy who did the hydroxychloroquine study is Dr. Zervos. Dr. Zervos and I actually worked together, and he's an excellent epidemiologist, and he's a PhD MD. So when I was a professor at Michigan State University in epidemiology, I worked with Dr. Zervos, so Dr. Zervos was the chief epidemiologist in charge of the Henry Ford Medical System, which is one of the largest medical or healthcare providers in the country, actually. And they have a top notch epidemiology team, which he runs, which conduct all different types of studies within the hospital setting. So when this study comes out, it's by him. I look at the methods; it's rock solid, and they discredit it. I mean, they say that, you know, this is not the right kind of work. You can't say this. Henry Ford has to retract it, you know, all this insanity, but it was true. I mean, it did work at preventing, you know, if you had early treatment with it, it did prevent severe negative outcomes of the disease. you know, Pepsid AC was one that was identified, I think, by Dr. Robert Malone or someone in the intelligence community.
I think it was Dr. McCullough that came out with that. I think he was the first one I heard about that.
Well, I think it was actually the intelligence community and the way that it might be connected to people. We actually probably found it first, because you have to remember...